نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له من يهدي الله فلا هادي له من يضلل فلا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له من يضلل الله فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القران المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is the month of Hajj, and I'm sure you must have heard lots of talks and lectures in regard to the Hajj itself. What are the ceremonies, what are the important aspects of the Hajj, and therefore I will not talk on that. There's something which has been bothering me for last few weeks, and I thought that topic is quite important. We normally ignore it, or we talk about it, or we hear incidents in the newspapers or through neighbor talks, but we never pay serious attention to that kind of incident. And any incident, any tragedy which takes place outside the family, so the immediate family hears the incident as a news, as a disinterested party, and talks about it and forgets about it. But the family which is directly involved, they suffer the consequences and they pay a price for that. As a matter of principle, we all must understand, anyone, doesn't matter who, anyone who takes a wrong step, he has to pay a price for that, whatever the consequences. There is no escape from that fact. The dua, which, the verse which I have just recited is part of the verse. This is from Surah Al-Furqan, just towards the end. And I would suggest that is, when you go home, look up that verse again. And what does it say? The hadith which I, a part of the hadith which I just narrated, this is part of the hadith, a long hadith. It begins with this and ends with this. كُلُّكُمْ رَعِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ رَعِيَّتِهِ. All of you are shepherd and all of you are responsible for your flock. In other words, anybody who has got any position of responsibility, in whichever case may be, he is accountable for that responsibility, for that duty that he has been given. That the Amir, the ruler, is responsible for his subjects. The husband is responsible for his family. The wife is responsible for whatever is at home. The servant is responsible for any duty that is given to him. In other words, that's a matter of trust. You know, we call board of trustees. What is board of trustees? Trustees is the board which have been given the responsibility of the trust. And if you betray the trust, then you are not acting as a trustee. Or we act as a ward, but the orphans or anybody for that matter. And if misuse that responsibility, then we are not discharging our duty. Likewise, the responsibilities of our children. What is the responsibility of the parents? What is the responsibility of the grandparents and so on and so forth? I know people talk about it, especially the pseudo-Muslims or liberal Muslims, things like this. They always talk about, I say, these Maulanas and Maulvis, they always talk about Jannat and Jahannam and this and this and this, and they talk about the Namaz, they talk about the Roza and Hajj, this kind of thing. They never talk about the social responsibility, this and this. But this is part of the whole thing. In other words, that the responsibility that Islam had put and had incorporated in its system, the social responsibility which begins from home and all the way go into the society. And that's one of the most important part. Quran is full of this terminology, يَعْمُرُوا الْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْا الْمُنْكَرِ. That the quality of the mu'mineen or Muslim community is that they instruct for good and ask people to abstain from evil. Or وَعْمُرُوا الْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْا الْمُنْكَرِ. Instruct about good thing and avoid people from evil. It's full. But the thing is, we do not take it seriously. But when it happens, suddenly at that time we just wake up. And that's too late at that time. The new South Africa which has come, lots of things have changed. Human rights have gone haywire. Democracy have gone little haywire. It might come back. The pendulum may come in the middle, but at the moment it's just moving violently this way and that way. And in the education field also the same thing is happening. And the new system it has, where religion is not part of the school teaching. But no matter what, secularism is the principle of the school. And secularism is itself a religion. That is anti-religion. No matter which religion. I don't talk of Christianity because Christianity does not have a law, does not have a legal system. All that it has emphasis on morality, things like these. Jews have taken care of themselves. They have got a Jewish school, this and this, and they do whatever they want to do. Muslim schools are coming up and they are doing good, quite well, the private schools. But the fact still remains that the bulk of our children are in public schools. Or those who are very affluent or rich or who can afford, even high middle class, they are clamoring to send their children to private schools. Whether those are run by Christians or by Jews, it doesn't matter. Or the so-called Model C school. But Model C school also falls in the same category. Somebody phoned me a few weeks ago. And his child is in Model C school, or so-called private school for the time being. Instead at 9 or 10, something. Now when he went there to admit him, he paid a price, a tuition fee, which is very high. Not very many can afford. But because of the greed for having a good education, we want to go into private schools. And I don't blame him that, because the standard for education is coming down. As the system is breaking up in every other discipline, in every sphere administration, likewise this education is also not a thing. You must have heard recently, for example, Zululand University, the Vice Chancellor has been just been suspended. Or lots of other things happen. Anyway, but school is the basis, is the foundation where everything begins. And the parents, they try their best to get best education available for their children. Even if they have to borrow or whatever the scheme they have, and they do, but in fact they do. But when they go there to that school, they have to sign a contract. And contract has got lots of clauses. You will not wear a scarf, for example. You will not grow beard. You will not do this. All of these things. And when the contract is given to you, in the hope, in the greed that you want to show the favor that, look, I'm a very liberal Muslim, I have nothing, no problem whatsoever. And we sign the contract and we go ahead and get the thing done. Now the child is admitted. Then at some stage or the other, if Allah gives the tawfiq, the son or daughter, as the case may be, suddenly become a little more Islamically conscious. Want to grow a beard. Or want to wear a scarf. And now you had the famous case in Lady Smith. You know about it. Now the principal says, sorry, you can't do that. I won't allow you that, because it's going to spoil my discipline. If you allow you, then I should allow somebody else also to do the same thing. And now you start thinking about it. And then your dilemma is, either you let the boy grow his beard, or you accept the condition that he has put to shave the beard. What happened here? That when you admitted the child at that time, you were an average Muslim parent. Through the hidayat of Allah, whatever happened, the son became more Islamically conscious. And now he wants to grow beard. So his dilemma is now, whether I should tell him not to grow beard. Irrespective of the controversy or to belittle the issue of beard, that I'm not getting involved into that controversy. But there's one point. I often say, when somebody give the legal opinions about the fatwa, about dari, beard, or the thing, my submission always is, I don't touch on those subjects. But my standard answer, which I'm giving to you also, the same thing is this. If your heart grows beard, the beard will come out on your face also. So when your heart changes, everything changes. But that's beside the point. The point is now, the Sharia says you have the beard. And by the way, often the Maulanas have been accused of so many things. Among them is this. Okay, why if you go this Maulana, he said this. You go this Maulana, he said this. You go this Maulana. Why does the Maulana get together and say to join one thing, this is the only thing that is there? Or this is cool, or that is cool, that is cool. But they were complaining about the lawyers who differ on the same points. They never differ, they were accused the doctors who differ on the same diagnosis. They never differ on the issue of engineers or anything who differ on the same point. But you never hear anybody, the lawyer say this, say don't go to the lawyer, don't do this, 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 this. But beard is at least one of those issues on which there is no difference of opinion for anybody. You can't say, humbly school say don't grow a beard. Or the Maliki school said, grow a beard. There is no difference of opinion whatsoever. So when the ulama are together, they say only one thing, then you say, he's talking about only beard, beard, it's not important really. But if the Maulanas have differed, then say, look, why can't you people get together and say, only one people say this. But this is one of those opinions at least, on which there is no difference of opinion whatsoever, from any school whatsoever, whether it is Zahiri or Maliki or Hanbali, whatever it is, that is their opinion. But that's beside the point. The point is this. Now, the choice is, what does he do, the parent? He can't ask the child not to grow a beard. And the person who phoned me, he said, when I admitted the child at that time, I had not realized that he would become so Islamically conscious as this. And now he's become Islamically so conscious. And what do I do? I said, but did you see the contract? He said, I saw the contract. How can you sign a contract which infringes on the Sharia itself, very directly? You must understand that right then and there. We become wise afterwards. Many of you who have got the experience of the insurance, recent rain had come, lots of people put up their claim. You put the insurance. Insurance said, yes, but did you see this? We get a whole 2 pages of the clauses of the insurance. Who reads those clauses? But those are fine prints, are always there. They're always advantages to them, not to you. And then at that time, they throw it at your face. Look, this is what happened. Did you read this? This is part of the comment. You never read it. I can't understand how anybody with open eyes and open mind goes to a school and they give the parents a certain contract. And he signed the contract without anything. He said, you can't wear a scarf, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, 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 this. And we signed it. But that's too late. Anyway, I advised him how to go about it, what do you do? I said, you can't stop the boy from wearing a beard. In other words, if somebody says, you could ask the boy not to make namaz, not to make roza, not to make hajj. Or don't do tahara. Or don't take water after passing urine. Don't wash yourself. I mean, how many places are going to say, if you start compromising on one issue, you start compromising on everything. Where are you going to end up? And I take my hat off, and I must admire those parents and ladies who took the matter, and they won the case. But some of the parents are coward. They don't want to stand up for their rights. The Constitution gives them the right. At least this is a good aspect of the Constitution, the religious rights are given. That contract is illegal. If they challenge the Constitutional Court, they will win it. Everybody tries that. But they do it. But that's not my point. My point is this, that the parents are responsible. Just as the parents, they work hard and spend their life and their whole life to give them good of this world. By the same token, they should be worried about the good of the other world. رَبَّنَا آتَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Why can't we part on the second part? Why should we leave it? Quran instructs the mu'mineen, هُوَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. You save yourself and your family members from the fire of hell. اپنے کو بچاؤ, اپنے family کو بچاؤ, جہنم کی آگ سے. جی؟ وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. تم نماز پڑھو, اپنی فیملی والوں کی نماز پڑھاؤ اور اس کے اوپر پرسیویئر کرو. پرسیویئر آن دا تھنگ. کلکم رائن وکلکم مسئول عن رعیتہ. ایوری بڈی ریسپانسبل فار ون تھنگ. حضرت حکیم اختر صاحب مدد العالی gave a very good point. He was elaborating at one point. In fact, that what he said is really the interpretation or the explanation of the Quranic verse. The Quran addresses the people by saying, أَتَعَمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. That you order or command everybody else to do good. أَتَعَمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. تم order other people to do good. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And you forget yourself to include in that. اپنے آپ کو بھول جاتے ہو. And this you do while you're reading the Quran. You finish the Quran in 3 days. In Ramzan, 10 days. It's becoming a new habit in South Africa also. 3 days, 10 days, 5 days, 7 days. I don't want to say anything about that. But what do you understand of that? Those 3 nights or 10 nights or whatever you do. What happened? Is it merely the fulfillment of the requirement or what is this? Quran to be read in such a way that you understand what it's talking about. So they will be able to act upon what you are going to talk about. Not merely fulfilling the column, the census sheet that you filled up and matter is over. It's gone. That's not a thing. Whom we are kidding? Whom we are making joke? What are we trying to do? Anyway, so Hazrat Hakim Sahab, Allah Ta'ala unke umr o barkat de. In fact, he feeling very weak nowadays. I ask you to make dua for his health, and so that he is more strength. He's complaining of weakness at the moment. He just suffered the loss of his wife who passed away. May Allah Ta'ala give her Jannat. Hazrat Hakim Sahab said, you know, we say, okay, this is not in my, I can't do about it. I have no authority over it. I have nothing on this. Hazrat Hakim Sahab said, ki bhai, on your limbs, tumhare badan ke jo aza hain, tumhare haath hai, pair hai, naak hai, is par tumhara control hai ya nahi hai? Do you have control on your hands or not? Do you have control on your eyes or not? Do you have authority on your feet or not? Do you have control on your mind or not? What do we do about that? We have control over it. But do we abstain? Do we do anything about our hand? Do we do anything about our eyes? Do we do anything about our mind? Do we do anything about our feet? We have control over it. So, tumhari hukumat to tumhare apne aza ke upar hai, uska kya karte ho? What do you do about this? So, the thing is this, the responsibility, all Anbiya alayhi salam, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, all Anbiya alayhi salam, what dua they made? The dua which I just read to you. کہ اے اللہ ربنا حولنا من ازواجنا, ہماری بیویوں سے, from our wives, وذریاتنا, اور ہمارے children, means the children, children's children, everything, give us what? The children who are coolness of our eyes, قرۃ اعین, آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک. They give us coolness of our eyes, those children, not the worst people. وَجَعَلْنَا مُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and make us the head of the in charge or the imam of good people. Has Zakariya alayhi salam, has Yaqub alayhi salam, has Ibrahim alayhi salam, all of them, what dua they made? Okay, bhai, nek awlad. Don't you wish also the same thing by nek awlad? How do you bring the nek awlad? How do you produce nek awlad? How do you train your own people when you employ anybody in your shop? What do you do? How much work, how much time you spend? You know, the apprenticeship or the articleship or anything, internship in the professional degrees, what happens? How much time is it spent? How much time we spend? A child may go to a school, whether it's raining or hail or whatever it is, but he must go to school, must not miss. But madrasa he can miss. Or, if he has gone to a school, beta, what did you do today? What you had this thing? You came to madrasa, what did you do? Because the father himself does not know. What does he know? In fact, the children, what they are learning today in the madrasa, if they ask the same question from their parents, they will not know the answer. So the responsibility lies to whom? Somebody sent a letter from Halifax. He said he spent 3 months hard work on a child for 3 months is a course where the practical teaching of Islam, namaz, roza, zakat, especially namaz, the boy became very punctual about the namaz. Then he said, a few months later I found the boy is not making namaz anymore. Nothing there. So I asked him, what happened? I haven't seen you for a long time there. He said, what you told me is all right, but nobody at home makes the namaz. So I think what you teach, our madrasa teaches one thing, what happens at home is another. So we teach the child, don't tell lies. You're telling lies to me? Don't tell lies, I'll hit you. But the child catches you very next day or next moment that you did tell a lie. And the children are the most blank or simple-minded people. They immediately catch the dichotomy of the contradictions. Don't think the child is not working. Child has got its own logic. And he understands that you are not doing. See, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a challenge. No matter how pious or greatest buzurg or wali that may be. But there is one thing you must understand and take it from me. Nobody can tell and say to his wife or to his children, whatever you see me doing at home, you go and tell it outside. You are most welcome to go and tell outside whatever I'm doing at home. Nobody can dare say that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. That's how we got the everything. He told Azwaj al-Mutahharat, his wives, our mothers, his daughters, whatever you see me doing at home, you go and tell them outside also. That's how we got information about the women. That's how we got information what the wives did. That's how we know how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived with his wife, how he lived with the children. Otherwise we would not have known. So just as you, if there is a fire in any hospital, your child is there, won't you try to save him as much as you can? So much so the mothers will give her life for that. But when you come to this issue, then we fail. We take a very passive thing. What can I do? But who are responsible for that contract? You did it. And if there is a contract, my advice to all of you is this, if there is a contract, this kind of thing you have signed, better wake up before the damage is done much more than that. So therefore you better look up and say that you have to show responsibility of bringing the children good child, good son, good grandchildren. And that means hard work. But that means you also have to be good. And this is where I often say The people say, compromise, compromise, compromise. But when the test of Iman comes, this is not my subject, time is gone. Inshallah, some other time I'll speak on that issue later on sometime. The thing is this, what is the test of Iman? Easy test. Easy test is, when there is the instruction of the command of the Sharia, and when this is the object of the dunya, which one you choose? See, in the contract, what did you choose? Is that test of our Iman? We are compromising nation, we compromise immediately on the issue. So please, whatever I have said, I have not even touched the surface. There are a number of incidents I have come across. That's become too late, becomes an eye-opener. But one thing sure, no matter what contract is, you stand up for your right, religious right, the Sharia right, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, whatever is involved. Because if you don't, how are you going to convey your message? That's not the responsibility of the Maulanas only. That's not the responsibility of the IDM or Dawah movement people, anything who claim the thing. That's the responsibility of everybody. يَعْمُرُونَ الْمَعْرُوفِ يَنْهَوْنَ الْمُنْكَرِ. When are you going to do that? So please, parents who are there, please take care of it and go over your contact, whatever it is, and be alert. A situation may arise, may hit you, but that will be too late. Make dua to whatever I have said, that I also be able to act upon it. I have got grandchildren too, and that I have, we will be able to do that, and you will do your duty also. وَاخَذَ عَبُونَ الْعَلِمِ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ.